Hi, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. Welcome to Letting Go with Guy Finley. Guy is the best-selling author of Let Go and Live in the Now and is the founding director of nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. And now, here's Guy Finley.
We're going to go quite deep tonight. And by deep, I mean that we're going to look at some of the mysteries of our life that for the most part not only go unsolved, but virtually unseen. And I want to stress how important it is that you recall, no matter how distant it may be, that feeling that you had once upon a time, where you knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that there was a lot of stuff going on in life, that there was more to it than met the eye by far and away, and that part of you was intrigued and excited and wanted to do what it took, even at the simplest levels. Because some of us, you know, when we're young, isn't it a mystery how our older brother and sister have a relationship with someone else? That's a mystery, isn't it? We see people fighting. Well, that's why are they together if they're fighting? That's a mystery. you see your dad or your mom, and maybe they work nonstop. Maybe you see people, teachers, people rushing all the time, and you see all of these strange. They're mysteries to you. When you're young, many things don't make sense to you. And then as we grow older, we forget the mystery in them because those things that we once questioned have become a part of our life. Depression, fear, anger, worry, greed, hatred, violence. And maybe for you, you didn't question these things. Maybe you were just thrown right into the midst of it, but it makes no difference because sown in the middle of your heart, there exists something that's created to solve this mystery that you see going on all around you. And I want to add this last point because I have quite a long story to tell you tonight. The greatest mysteries, the answers to them, the solutions to them, they can't be taught. It's impossible. They can only be the fruit of a person's willingness to experience them. That's the only way that the true mysteries of life are solved. They cannot be explained. And just to sum up this section, the mysteries, the real mysteries, are love. The real mysteries are connected to compassion. The real mysteries are related to humility, patience, peace. Those are the real mysteries. And they've been supplanted, if not ignored, down through our own life and the ages because the human race has found ways to come up with imitations for these things. And for those of us for whom this is true, the imitation's no good. It's no good to live a life where you pretend to be kind. It's no good to live a life where you pretend to be wise. It's no good to live a life where you act as though you have peace. It's no good to act as though you have humility. And people are masters at it. Each and every person has found ways to dress themselves in images of strength, of a deeper source to themselves, but unseen by themselves, I might add, as well as everyone around them, for the most part, all of these things are nothing. and prove themselves as such in the moments where those tests come that invariably do in life, because they come all the time. They come all the time. And we're given the tests, the speaker believes, for the purpose of driving us back into ourselves, into the source of these mysteries that we've always wanted to understand, so that through our experience we can come to understand not only their meaning, but what it means to us relative to changing us, to becoming the kind of human being that hopefully we haven't forgotten is our potential. So I'm going to tell you a story, and it's a long one. And with long stories, you have to do a little extra work. And in this instance, you need to remember that everything that I'm going to tell you in this story, every character, every scene, every place that it takes place, all of these things are interior aspects of our own life. So that when you listen, you know, it's always proper to identify with the hero, but we never identify with the one who punishes the hero, do we? And we never identify with places that we don't want to be. We always want to identify with places where we're going. So keep in mind while you listen to this story tonight that congratulations, look at your own hand, you are the hero of this story. And if you pay very close attention, the mystery that it points to, and it is a very grand mystery, the mystery that it points to will be yours. And when it does become yours, then you can begin to take your place within a completely different order of human being as we are intended to be. So here's the story. Take a breath. Here we go. I'm going to use a middle-aged man in this story, ladies, and I know that's hard to relate to, but just think that I'm saying you. Okay. A middle-aged man suddenly found himself walking through a desert. But he wasn't just walking through a desert. He was walking through a desert carrying on his back a fairly significant burden. And not just a normal burden, but have you ever picked up something that had points on it? You know, an unwieldy pointed object. They're not fun to carry, are they? For one thing, wherever you pick them up, they press into you, and then they're hard to balance. And this is what the man was carrying. But that's not the end of what he found himself suddenly doing and being. He found himself walking along in this immense caravan. As far as the eye could see in front of him and as far as the eye could see behind him, there were camels and men and women, each and every one of them carrying similar objects, some more, some less than himself. And at first, it was pretty darn hard for him to even figure out. You have to put yourself, which shouldn't be too hard, by the way, as we'll see. You have to put yourself in the place of someone who suddenly finds themselves carrying something unwanted. Is anybody not in the story? The unwanted burden of what's going to happen tomorrow, the unwanted relationship that's falling apart, the unwanted business that consumes you as opposed to liberating you, the unwanted relationships with others that don't give you the peace you want but instead punish you. You figure out what it is that you're carrying day to day to day. How about always trying to get someplace where at last you can put the burden down? How about that just for a burden? And so he looks around and he got confused just like you do. Don't you get confused when suddenly you find yourself feeling pressured? I mean, isn't there a moment in which you look around inwardly and outwardly and you try, what? Geez, where did this come from? How come I'm suddenly with this thing? And then in the heat of trying to figure out how you're suddenly with this thing, your mind races back to the past, thinking about what could have occurred and how someone probably other than you is responsible for where you are. And then it rushes to what needs to be done to resolve this burden, because by God, I'm not going to carry this thing through the rest of my life. Then it rushes into resentment towards those who have given you this burden that you didn't pick up. And that it kind of goes faster and faster and faster. Yes or no? Your mind goes on to into frappe and a sort of seething comes out of frappe, doesn't it? A lot of little bubbles. This is where he found himself, and his mind's trying to figure out what's going on, when all of a sudden he hears a whistle blow, And the person in front of him and the person behind him suddenly did come to a stop, and they sit down where they are, and they sit down on their burden. And he thinks, well, this is better than carrying this thing. And he sets it down, and he says to the person, he says, listen, where are we? What are we doing? And the man looks at him and says, well, sir, we're in the great empty. What's the great empty? He said, the man said, well, look around. Look at this desert. This is the great empty. Have you ever seen anything greater and more empty than this? And he looked around. Pretty much that's all there was nothing. Made sense. The great empty. And he said, but what are we doing here? He said, well, I don't know about you, but all of us, we're in the service of the service. This caravan belongs to Sheikh Achy Make Me. The Sheikh Achy Make Me. That's what we're doing. What are you doing? Well, I guess I must be in the service of the Sheikh Achy Make Me as well, but I don't remember becoming indentured to this caravan. He said, well, frankly, sir, none of us are indentured here. What do you take me for? You take me for somebody who has no choice but to be here? Please, you insult me, sir. And the man, taken aback as all human beings are when put on the defensive, I didn't mean to offend you. And probably like yourself, I'm not indentured here either. Trying to figure out what he is doing there. And he says to him, well, just out of curiosity, because I must have hit my head, what exactly are we doing? Well, the Sheikh, Achy Make Me, we carry this for a certain point of time, and then we get it, put it down, and we get the promise. Each of us get a share of the caravan becomes ours. You've heard of that, haven't you? Man thinks about it, hadn't really, but he said, yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. And everything's happening so fast that he doesn't quite know what to make out of his own situation.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at GuyFinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.
And he says to the fellow ahead of him again, he says, well, how long do you think we're going to be resting here? The man said, it depends. We may be able to stay right through the night. He said, and sometimes it's pretty good. We have music, we have dancing, and they pour grog, and we have a grand old time. That's not sounded better now. Desert doesn't sound that bad. And all of a sudden, the whistle blows, and all of a sudden, everybody stands up. But our hero doesn't stand up. When instantaneously appear right next to him, three really big guards. Now, when I say really big guards, have you seen those movies of Turkish prisons? You know what I'm talking about? Really big, burly guards. And they have big, gnarly whips. Burly guards with gnarly whips. And they instantaneously crack their whips right over the head of our eventual hero, who doesn't have to be told in more cracks than one that he's supposed to pick up his package and move along, which he does. He picks up his burden and he puts it on his shoulder and he looks around. Everybody else is doing it. But he looks over and next to a camel about maybe 300-400 feet down, there's an old sadhu standing there. Now, for those of you who don't know what an old sadhu is, a sadhu is a word for a sort of wandering spiritual person in Eastern countries. They're renunciates as a rule. Just meaning he looks over and there's an old, wiser looking person. And he's got a package on his back just like everybody else. But the young man sort of makes an instant note in his mind that when he looked at this fellow, the fellow was had his lips kind of curled up like this, kind of disgusted, and was shaking his head like that. And the young man, our hero, thought to himself, well, he can't be shaking his head at me. He doesn't know who I am. Who is he doing that to? And the crack whip over his head, and they start, the caravan moves on. Well, they walk the whole day, and it's not an easy walk. But as they walk, they're all talking amongst themselves about why the walk is the way that it is, because it's necessary to get to where it is that one has to get to so that they can put down their burden and take a percentage of all the profit that comes from doing such difficult work, from struggling and suffering so in the sun of that desert. And he finds a certain solace in that, and he begins to think to himself, he actually begins to remember, and this is key, he actually begins to remember what's in the package he's carrying. First, he didn't even know what he was doing there, but then he begins to think to himself, you know, I kind of know what's in this package. And he begins to kind of fantasize a little bit about the great profit that's coming his way when at last he himself is able to set this thing down. Not to mention how sweet it will be to get out of the sun. How great it'll be to finally set this thing down. And he's walking and actually enjoying himself beneath the burden. But that's just the first day. That night, as he was told, they pour some grog, and they got the tabbouleh, they got these little drums, and they got some, people are dancing, and it's a grand old time. They light a fire, and everybody's walking around. We knew it. Not that bad. No, it's not that bad. This is great. But the next morning, crack of the whip, bang, everybody's up, got to move, got to get up, got to go, got to go, got to go. And all the time, walking through this great desert in which basically nothing changes except for the heat, which always gets worse, except for nighttime when, after the grog and the music are gone, it gets really cold. And this is his life for several days on end. And for several days on end, I want to add that he continues to notice every once in a while when they set things down, that when he picks up the package and puts it on his back, every time, somewhere within eyesight, that old sadhu's looking at him, rolling up his lips and shaking his head at the man. Now, after about 5 days of this, he thinks to himself, we're not getting any closer. I mean, let's be honest. He talks to the people that he sits down with during the break. He says, can we talk? Have we gone anywhere? Doesn't it seem like we're just walking in sand? Ever walk in sand? You know, well, they said, of course we're walking. We're getting some places. Well, it doesn't seem like it. He said, I don't think I want to play anymore. I don't think I want to do this anymore. I mean, the promise is great, but this hurts. And besides which, have you noticed that by the end of the day, we're snapping at each other? You notice how people are cruel, and you notice how many people cry while they're carrying their pack? Have you noticed? I mean, what's the point of all this? And they said, look, what's the point of even talking about this? They said to him. These are voices in your own head. What's the point of even talking about this? They said, you can't, no one escapes here. He says, what do you mean no one escapes? No one escapes. Well, how do you know? I've tried. Well, what do you mean you've tried? I ran away. He said, the guards follow you. Doesn't matter what time you sneak out, you run away, the guards are following you. And they bring those whips. They snap them. You better believe you get back. And the middle man said, well, you know, that may be true, but they can't always be watching. And they said, well, you find out for yourself. And so, next day, they come to a small place and they set everything down. He looks around, he doesn't see the guards. He thinks, well, this is it. This is, poof, he takes off, he starts to run. He doesn't get but maybe 100 to 300 yards out in the desert, and somehow, not from behind him, but in front of him, in the direction he was running, the three guards appear with their whips. Snap, 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 over his head. Bang, bang, bang. Okay. Guys, just wanted to see if there's any desert. It was looked different out here. I wasn't really trying to run away. And he runs back to the caravan. When he gets back and picks up his burden, there's the old sadhu looking at him, shaking his head, disappointed. 2 nights later, they're sitting there, and he's not having as much fun as he usually did. And he says, hasn't anybody ever run away? Hasn't anybody? He said, well, I've heard, one of the men said, I've heard stories of people that have run away. But even if the guards didn't get them, I heard tell that they come back, because out there in the great empty, it's so terrifying, it's so absolutely void of anything, that they come running back to the caravan just to be in the caravan. And the man says, well, how can the desert be worse than what we're doing? Well, look, it's your life. Do what you want to do. And so he said, well, you know what? I'm going to. In fact, somehow or other, I'm going to escape this thing. I'm going to. And then he heard a song he liked, and that was the end of his activity for the night. Now, the next time that we pick up in this story, the old sadhu is over about 100 yards from our hero. And the hero sees him, and he's kind of bugged, because this sadhu has been shaking his head for a good several weeks now. And obviously, it wasn't so clear at first that he was disdaining him, but now it was obvious. And he walks over and he says to the old sadhu, look, you know, I want to know what's going on here. Why are you always looking, giving me that look that you're giving me? And the old sadhu says to him, well, son, says, you can't outrun the guards that watch over this caravan of Sheikh Ikki make me. You can't outrun them. And the man, our hero, says, well, what are you trying to tell me? I mean, what's the point here? You're just saying that I should cave in and give up? And the old sadhu says, no, I'm not saying that to you all. He says, well, what? He says, you have to understand this caravan, and you have to understand Sheikh Ikki make me. He says, well, now, what do you mean by that? And he says, when the caravan gets ready to move on from this point, he said, let it leave you behind. Let it leave you behind. Just don't pick up the burden. Just leave it where it lies. Let the caravan go on without you. He says, but what about the guards? And the old sadhu says, the guards can only crack their whips. Haven't you noticed in all of this time, every time they've cracked their whips, they've never touched you with it. It's always the fear of what they can do that makes you move and pick up the package and move with the caravan. It's always the fear of them that gets you to run back to the caravan when you've tried to run away. He said, and by the way, the guards always know when you try to escape the caravan. Now let me break in the story for a second so you understand this idea. How many of you have ever tried to escape from an unhappiness or a suffering? Have you noticed you don't do it? Do you know why? This is a very deep and powerful spiritual idea. Try to hear it. Because the you that runs from the suffering is itself an expression of the suffering. The you that runs from the suffering is itself an expression of the suffering. What does that mean? The you that's trying to get away from the pain is the product of the pain it is trying to get away from. So it can't outrun the pain. It is founded by it. It is the effect of it. So it makes no difference how far you run. The guards are always with you, because what gave you the force to try to escape is the same thing that you find yourself facing when you get however far it is that you do. And there it is. That nature remains in place. The problem isn't the guards in quote, meaning those ideas that say you can't or you won't. The problem is that the whole structure of self that's part of that caravan, and what's the caravan? The promise of a day to come when you won't be in pain. The promise of a future that's brighter than whatever it is you're living right now. The hope for resolution from some problem that either occurred 10 seconds ago or 10 years ago. Do you not carry these things with you? Have you never not noticed how it is when things go the way you wish they wouldn't go, or there's a problem in your life, that the next thing you know, you're finding yourself carrying this thing that you've got to figure out how to put it down. You've got to get to the end of it. You've got to figure out. And it's telling you, the burden itself is promising you that if you just do X, Y, and Z, get to the end of A, B, and C, then at last you'll be able to set this thing down. But your whole life, you have never been able to set it down. And the reason that you can't set it down is because the self itself that's carrying it is a product of that pain. And it isn't until a person starts to understand, as we're going to, what it is that's going on beneath all of that, that keeps individuals like ourselves all the time captives, one way or another, of the achy make me caravan. The achy make me caravan. So, at that point, the man, the hero, he looks over at the guard and he says, "But look," he says, "you're saying that I should just let the caravan go on and the guards can't hurt me." He said, "But if I let them go and I leave my stuff here and I leave myself here, where am I going to be? I mean, just think," he said to the old sadhu, "I mean, just think what you're saying. You're saying, let the caravan go on. Let it leave me here. Don't you see where we are? This is the great empty man."
You're listening to Letting Go with Guy Finley. For more information about Guy's life-empowering ideas, visit guyfinley.com. We'll be back in a moment.
One reason the wind of good fortune is often found at the back of people who are successful in life is because these individuals are usually found moving ahead of it in anticipation of its arrival. Hi, this is Dr. Ellen Dickstein. The engaging words of best-selling author Guy Finley remind us that real success in life is a relationship between ourselves and a timeless greatness that lives within us. Each week, you can receive a powerful, life-affirming message from Guy, guaranteed to help you succeed with your wish for a new life. Each brief, uplifting insight reminds you that nothing can stop you from knowing the higher happiness your heart longs for. To receive Guy Finley's free weekly key lessons, just visit guyfinley.com. Join the thousands of grateful individuals who are learning how to make themselves and our world a better place. Visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com.
Welcome back to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley.
If I stay in the great empty, the desert will swallow me up. And the sadhu says to him, "As opposed to what? What's swallowing you now, sir?" And the man had to take pause because it was quite true. I mean, the truth is he could see that. And try to understand that I'm just talking in terms of weeks now for the sake of the story. But this is a lifetime. This is 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Person day in and day out trying to figure out How if they can just carry the burden one more day, if they can just be just take it to where it finally pays off, then it'll be all worth it. And he turns to the old man and he says, I don't know what to say to you. And the old sadhu said to him the following, and then I'm going to explain it. He said, "Sir, there are greater powers in this world than pain. there are greater powers in this world than pain. Now, break into the story. What does that mean? What does that sadhu mean? There are greater powers in this world than pain. I know that you're not going to like the following idea, but I tell you it's the truth, unequivocally the truth. You worship pain. You worship it. You spend all day in it. And if pain's too strong of a word for you, how about self-concern? Stress. Concern over your future. Worry. Resentments towards others. Regrets. Disappointments. You examine your life, and what you'll see is that the principal preoccupation of the human mind is its pain. And the reason for the principal preoccupation of the human mind being pain is that it is first and foremost in great abundance to that mind, because that same mind is forever remembering what went wrong, forever thinking about how things could have been better, forever hoping for a way to reconcile something that took place a day or a year or a thousand years ago. And that same mind that's always caught up inside of that process by which it's trying to finally get things settled down, it generates for itself that which keeps itself in the caravan of Sheikh Akimeki. That interior process of perpetuating one's own life by regurgitating, by reliving, by reconfiguring conditions and events, so that somehow or other this burden that one has to carry will finally, you'll finally move along and be able to set it down and be at peace. And I'm asking you to look and see whether or not, out of all this time in this body and all of the ways in which we have all served that caravan, with all of its conflict and all of its greed and all of its hope for things seen, all of that wrapped up in it, to what end and why? And back to what we're talking about. Because you see, for that self, it is better for it to relive what didn't work, what isn't working, than it is to be in the big empty. Now I'll say it in terms so you understand. It's preferable for the self to pain itself than to be in the present moment where it can't consider itself and therefore be in pain. It's preferable to that self to consider itself, to do nothing but go over and back and through all that it's carrying around. It would rather do that than let it go. And that's, in essence, what the young man realized in the story, in this metaphor. He said to the old man, look, the alternatives here are both unthinkable. You're saying, just if I don't pick up the burden, the caravan has to go on without me. What does that mean? I better get into that. It means if in those moments where those punishing thoughts and feelings come, and those questions and how it's going to get this, when that comes up, where is it written that you have to go with it? Where is it written you must pick it up? Consider it and think and go through it. Where is it written? And I'll tell you where it's written. It's written right in the pages of that book called Yourself. Nowhere else is it there. Because the fact is that if you don't pick it up, that the caravan of time, simple passing time, it leaves. And with it leaves the forces and the conditions that created interiorly those considerations that now you think are that are going to consume you if you don't answer them. The old man said, just let the caravan go. Don't pick up the package. Let it leave. He said, it's unthinkable, because if I let it leave, I'm going to be here in the great empty with nothing. So you're giving me a choice between two things, none of which are valuable, because both hold for me a nightmare. And the old sadhu said, there are powers in this world greater than pain. Because what was the young man, what was the man in the story seeing when he thought to himself being left in the great empty? Was he not right back in the same imaginative process of a future in which there could be nothing other than the outcome of his own demise? So what's the point of being in the big empty when at least I get grog and music and I have the hope of something that's going to rescue me if I stay in this caravan? Why do you put up with it? You know why? You're in love with it. I'll say it to you in different words. You're afraid to be without it. And the back to the story now. Take a deep breath. The man looked at the sadhu and kind of shook his head at the sadhu, and the sadhu kind of shook his head back at the old man, at the man, and the man picked up his package and he moved on with the caravan. But he couldn't get the words of the sadhu out of his mind. And he couldn't get over what was now, and please listen to this, a growing experience, a growing understanding of the fact of his actual circumstances. You know, most of us don't know the fact of our actual circumstances because we generate all of the solutions for the circumstances we find ourselves in. We can explain to ourselves why it's necessary for us to hurt. We can explain to ourselves why it's necessary that we have to hurt others. We can explain to ourselves why people are at fault for the way we feel. We can do all manner of ways in which we can give ourselves the justification for what actually is killing us, draining us, as we sit and stand in the service of Sheikh Achy Make Me. One day, and I hasten to hope this for you, it had been a particularly rough day. Not many breaks. Have you ever had those days? You know, some days it's not so bad. Shaky ache me isn't that bad every once in a while, is it? Shaky ache me. It sounds like that stupid country and western song. Some days it's not so bad. Is it? Have you not noticed that? Some days, I don't know how it works out. You know, you trade coupons with somebody and they hold a fan over you while you walk or whatever it is that you do. And it's not that bad. Some days it's pretty darn good because you can look in the few, you look out and by an obvious oasis, it looks to you like you're getting pretty darn close to the end of this service with Sheikh Achy Make Me. But the next day, the oasis is gone. And then there'll be days on end, won't there? Where a person will start to see, well, I don't get it, man. Why do I keep going back into that argument? Why do I keep reliving what mightn't happen for me? You name what it is. Why do I keep going over this suffering that's self-centered when it's pretty darn obvious that it's not delivering me into anything except more darkness? And at that point, just like in the story, this man, one day when they call a break and they set down their packages, he looks around, and you know, this is a little sidebar. Probably for the very first time in his life, the real meaning of the interior sentiment of God help me appeared to him. Because before, God help me had only to do with God help me to get to the end of this caravan. God help me to realize the prophet I've envisioned for my pain. God help me to get rid of that person who's walking behind me that keeps whistling that song. Or whatever it is that a person asks God to help them with. But this time he said, God help me. And you know why he said it? Because he was going to let the caravan leave him. And sure enough, when the whistle blew, he didn't stand up and he didn't pick up his burden. And sure enough, the minute he didn't pick up his burden, listen to this, this is an interior story. The minute that he didn't pick up his burden, the guards appeared. Do you understand that? Do I have to explain to you? The minute that you say to yourself, I'm dropping this. I'm not going to be a part of this anymore. No matter what it is that you're talking about, whether it's the way you enable another human being or the way you drag yourself through the dirt in some future consideration of a moment where you're going to have a great life. The minute you don't do that and you say that's it, the guards appear. And they appear with their whips. And they crack them. Here's what the whips represent. Something terrible is going to happen to you if you don't continue being it, doing what you've been and done. If you even dream about not thinking anymore towards what you've been thinking towards, your life is finished, man. And of course, he'd been through that enough times and was so sick of himself that he decided he was going to see whether the old sadhu knew what he was talking about, and he didn't pick it up, and they cracked their whips harder and harder and harder. And this went on for 15 minutes until the sting of it was so near his ear that he could almost feel the pain of it. But listen to me, because this is the truth, but only you can find out the mystery of it. Little by little by little, the crack of the whips got quieter and quieter and quieter, and when he finally opened his eyes again, lo and behold, the caravan had moved on. What does that represent? That represents the energies being dispelled in the opposites that produce that moment. The energies dispelled because they're not being fed anymore. And as the energies are dispelled, it's the same thing as the caravan moving on, because that process of negativity and the resistance to it is all a part of time. All a part of you that lives in time, meaning through who you've been and what you are and all of the things that you uphold, that in quotes you uphold, which isn't you at all. And the caravan left him.
Here, Guy Finley in person. Guy lives and teaches in Merlin, Oregon, where he speaks four times each week at beautiful nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. Visit us anytime and hear Guy's life-transforming principles in a friendly, serene, and inspiring environment. Visit GuyFinley.org or call 541-476-1200 to learn more about friendly ongoing classes. You are not alone in your quest for a new life. At Life of Learning, you'll meet others who are also seeking higher understanding, and you'll experience the power and inspiration of hearing Guy Finley in person. Plan to visit us and take the next step in your spiritual development. For information, call 541-476-1200, 541-476-1200, or visit GuyFinley.org. That's GUYFINLEY.org.
And now he's sitting there in the desert. He's sitting there in the great empty. Now, what does that mean relative to us? We're talking about what happens when a person actually realizes that they can either be in the present moment, they can either use their attention for what God gave it to them for, not so they can remember what channel to surf back to late at night on television. They can either use their attention for what it was given to them for, which is to remain present in the now, in the moment. Or they can let their attention be used by the parts of them that are the part of Sheikh Aki Makemi's caravan. And so he sat there and he looked around. And let me explain something, because this is a real experience. This is not something this is not a fantasy. This is a real experience that if you want real life, call it what you will, if you want rebirth, if you want to become a new man, if you want to wake up, if you want to become a real woman, if you want to know anything about what the immortality that we're meant to have, a timeless life, this is a real story. And he's sitting there, and he notices several things at once. First, he hears a silence that he's never heard before. And he starts to notice that the sun is starting to set, and he starts to feel a certain terror come into him. An abject fear begins to wash through him. Because now the caravan's out of sight. Now that's a further story in a way, because for a long time a person will sit down, let the caravan go, 200, 300, 400, 500 yards down the road, and go, wait for me! Wait for me! I was in the great empty for a few minutes, but I'd rather be with this. So he sits there, and this fear starts to come into him, and the darkness starts to fall, And everything in him wants to run in the direction of the caravan, meaning everything in him wants to quit the present moment, wants to quit being whole, present to himself, and run in the direction of what will be the continuity of his life. But he doesn't do it, and he reaches a certain pitch in which he can't take anymore the great empty, and he faints, he passes out, literally passes out. When he opens his eyes again, the first thing he sees over his head are the fronds of a palm tree, a date palm. And he thinks to himself, well, I must have died. But then he feels some water splashed in his face, and he realizes that they probably don't throw water on your face in heaven. And he kind of shakes his head up, and he looks around, and there's the old sadhu looking down at him, smiling and shaking his head now. And the man kind of picks himself up and looks around, and he's in a beautiful oasis. And there's maybe 50, 100 people in different places, little tents and little sheep wandering around. Beautiful, beautiful place. And he says to the sadhu, he said, what is this? Where is this? And the old sadhu looks at him and says, well, he said, this is a special place. We call this the oasis of real life. And then the young man said, how did I get here? He said, you know, we had to find out whether you wanted real life or you just said that, or just pretended that you wanted it. We can't. He says, who is we? What are you talking about, old man? He said, we have operatives in the caravan of Sheikh Aki Make Me. And all they do is they look for men and women like yourself who we suspect are willing to step out of the caravan, who are willing to let it leave them. And if they are, then we welcome them into this world in which there is nothing like what you were doing and nothing to serve as you were serving it. Instead here, he said, if you wish, you'll serve this oasis, which will do nothing but give you opportunities to go out and find others like yourself who are interested in leaving behind that caravan. Now, that story has a great mystery in it. I alluded to it when I started talking. Because, and I'll ask you to ask yourself, what kind of love is there in a human being consumed by his or her own suffering? What do they love? What does such a person love? Who tears themselves up over what others are or aren't doing? Who's afraid to do anything for fear it may jeopardize their imagined security? You fill in the blanks. And the answer that you have to come up with is that a person consumed by their own suffering is serving themselves. Even though that self will blame everything around that person for the way they feel. There's every possible justification for their pain. But when the final verdict comes in, if we see it, that's simply a case in which, as a person, I'd rather have the known suffering than be in the great empty. But the old sadhu said to him, there are greater powers in this world than pain. And what he was saying in this instance is that there is that which, without us being able to know it, until we have willingly done what must be done, there is that which watches over us. And I don't anthropomorphize it. Don't turn this into something that your mind holds in the image of a God or a Christ. Don't anthropomorphize this. You understand that there is inside of these moments where, and everyone has had some of this, where when at last you could no longer prevail, you couldn't push yourself to be part of that, what caused that crisis in your life. It was impossible. And this is it. Do you know that everything in you wanted to keep being and doing what you had been and done, but you absolutely couldn't do it anymore? How many of you know that? It couldn't. I wanted to. I really did. The last thing I want to do is not do that, but you can't. And when you come to that stop, there you are in the great empty. And you're sure that life is over as you've known it, except for one thing. Out of that great empty comes something that fills you. And that's the mystery. That's the mystery. That out of a person's willingness to let their suffering move on without them comes the end of the self that is moved by that suffering. But no one finds what I'm talking about without going through exactly what that story outlined. Not my law. You must lose your life in order to find it. You can fill in the blanks from every great testament that was ever written, all saying the same thing and all alluding to the same possibility, but not as long as a person, which is what we are now. Every opportunity that you have, you pick it up, don't you? Just pick it up. Oh, poor me, or oh, what now, what's going to happen? And on and on and on. Listen, take the risk. You have so many wonderful shocks coming to you. For one thing, you attribute to yourself powers that are fully imaginary. And you'll never know what real power is until you're void, vested, free of those imaginary states. And one of the things that you don't have that you imagine you do is the actual ability to be in the present moment. Because you may have the idea, but the idea isn't the will. And the will takes your relationship to that will that is the power in the desert. And there is that power in the desert, I'm telling you. There is that which can take a person right in the middle of their, they can feel themselves picking it up. I'm getting ready to start thinking about what he said. I'm getting ready to start worry about what's going to happen. I'm getting ready to think about myself and all the things that I haven't been or done. And you fill in the blank. And in that moment, I tell you, if you see the truth of it, that's the end of it. Leave it. You set it down. You set it down and you brace yourself. You brace yourself because the minute that caravan starts to move on, just like, anybody ever been in the ocean when the wave comes and then the wave starts to recede and you can actually feel that wave starting to take you like that? That's exactly what it's like, because it's a literal force, a literal physical force, by the way. It starts to suck you, want to suck you back into shake, achy, make me's caravan. But you use what God gave you, which is so much greater than any. See, the force that I'm talking about, the power in the desert, it's not in time. It has nothing to do with the purpose that even the person trying to work with it can understand. But we can understand what's happened to us, carrying what we've been carrying and serving what we've been serving. We can see that with great clarity. And if you see it with great clarity, then you can do the work, no matter how nascent it may be. And that's part of it. Don't judge yourselves, you know. Even if the caravan only gets another 50 feet past you, and then you run to it, you catch yourself a week later, still working for the Sheikh. Shake. Start over. Learn what it means. Let it leave you there. You don't move with it. It moves without you. In the great empty, there is a great power that will fill you, but only when you've been willing to be in it alone.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit GuyFinley.com, where you'll find a host of free, life-changing information. Thanks for joining us today.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at GuyFinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.